For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to Revelation chapter 3. We'd like to read for your hearing, beginning with verse number 14. Revelation, the third chapter, beginning with verse 14. Last writing in the Bible, Revelation, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. These words are recorded. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Read for your hearing from Revelation, the third chapter, verses 14 through verse number 20. May the Lord add a blessing, continue to bless us through his holy word. Let me share with you from these verses of scripture, from the umbrella of backsliding. See, this particular area was in a way a warning that Christ gave to the disciples at a place called Laodicea. The interesting fact about Laodicea is that it was there that they had a famous school of medicine. They championed a special ointment known as, if I get it pronounced right, Phrygian powder. This was made from spikenard and was famous to cure eye problems. They either manufactured or distributed it there. And this seems to be alluded to at the end of verse number 18, where the writer says that the disciples of Laodicea themselves had need to apply the cure for their own spiritual blindness. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You see, the most important feature of Laodicea was that its water supply was suspect. You see, for all its wealth, the city actually had poor water. It was bland to taste. It actually induced vomiting. The water was channeled from the south by a 10-kilometer-long aqueduct. The water came either from the hot springs and was cooled to lukewarm, or it came from a cooler source and warmed up in the aqueduct on the way. But this water seemed to reflect the lukewarm attitude of the people. The writer noted that the Laodiceans had learned to compromise and accommodate themselves to the needs and wishes of others. They did not zealously stand for anything. Jesus detests this Laodicean attitude of compromise in his church, an attitude that seeks easy accommodation and peace at any cost. He said to him in our text, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." You see, the disciples there were half-hearted, professing to follow Christ, but at the same time always wanting to follow the world's pursuit of affluence and appearance and achievements. They wanted to have the best of both worlds and could not really decide where their loyalties ultimately should lie. You see, the sad thing is that today there are many disciples who are like the Laodiceans. When they at one time were young believers, they may have been sincerely enthusiastic and excited about worship and prayer and Bible study and discipleship. But later on, as they got used to these things, year after year, they did not appreciate them nor put their hearts into it anymore. You see, it became just a matter of routine for them. You remember there was a time when we were fervent in prayer, but somehow we've come somewhat lethargic in our prayer life. There was a time when we fully trusted the Lord, but it's come down to where there are times, too many times, we become anxious and start doubting the Lord. There was a time when we loved God more than everything else, and now it appears that we seek self-glory in most things. There was a time that we gave thanks in all, but nowadays many spend much time worrying. Some spend much time murmuring. There was a time when we were willing to forgive others, but now we struggle in our forgiveness. You see, there's a danger of being a backslider. You see, if any of these things accurately describe your present life now, you need to be careful. You see, perhaps you have backslided and you're not even aware of it. Perhaps you may have been coming to church every Sunday and you come more out of a sense of duty than out of love. Just because you feel that you have to do it and not really because you want to be here. If your heart is not really present in the worship service, if you find that you're just going through the motions when people around you are singing and praying, you join in, but if you do not find delight in the things of God, and you have to force yourself to pray and to read his word, you need to be careful. See, it's a scary thing to be ignorant of your own backslidden condition. See, Laodicean had this problem in their church. It was not simply their indifference, but it was their ignorance of their real condition. Look at verse 17. It says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. You see, they were blind to it. To them, everything was all right. Saw no need for repentance or for change. They were content just to remain as they were, not knowing the danger that they were in. Lukewarmness is a dangerous situation for us to be in. Do you know that a person who calls him or herself a disciple but does not show it in their lives may be in greater risk than one can even imagine? You see, you could be having a false sense of security. The scripture makes it very clear to us that the grace of God must naturally produce lives that are devoted to God the Father. If you're lukewarm in spiritual things, it might be an indication that you may not even be saved at all. You see, Matthew 7:22 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, this does not mean that a person who is saved can lose his salvation. You see, salvation is of the Lord, and therefore it can never be lost. But what this verse refers to is the fact that there are some folk who can appear to be in Christ and yet not really be in Christ at all. They claim to have a part in him, and they profess to be like the rest of the branches that are joined to the vine. They may even call Jesus Lord, but their true unregenerate state becomes evident after a while, when their lives display no real transformation. Or either under pressure from the world, they deny the Lord and fall away from following him. And you see, on that day of the Lord, their false profession of faith in Christ will be of no help to them at all. They will have no part at all in the wonderful bliss of his eternal life. You see, this is a frightening prospect. So frightening that I would urge all of us to be very sure today that we have not been deceiving ourselves. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that we are saved, that we have a part in Christ, when we actually do not have a part in him at all. Now, while that frightening prospect may be true of some of us, and we ought to be very sure that it is not, it may also be true that we are already genuinely saved, but who have just lapsed or backslided into an unhealthy spiritual state. Perhaps there was a time when we were more zealous and did much more for the Lord, but what has happened since then? We've grown cold and left our first love. You see, like the disciples of Laodicea, some have become lukewarm. Some have backslidden. And if not careful, some may one day stop coming to the house of the Lord. What's caused us to backslide? One cause of backsliding comes from the cares of the world. You see, a disciple backslides when allowing these things of the world to overtake the devotion of the Lord, overtake the walk with the Lord. You see, a backslider is living for the things on the earth and not for things above. They become too occupied with their work and with their own interests. There are remedies for backsliding, but there are some who think that the remedy is to find for themselves a good Bible-believing church that's very active, faithfully preaching God's word and doing a lot of mission work. And they believe that as long as they attach themselves to it as members and attend its services regularly and give very generously to missions, that they have solved their spiritual problem. They think that they're now all right. no longer backslidden. But you see, this is nothing more than a measure to salve a guilty conscience. What they've done is merely substituted an outward form for an inward change. There are many generous church members who attend church regularly, but inwardly they are still lukewarm disciples. God does not want a more or a mere superficial covering. In other words, he does not want you just to look saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to do things of the Spirit. What he demands is a complete reformation of one's priorities, loyalties, values, and your desires. So don't settle for a substitute of the real remedy for backsliding. There's nothing that can ever substitute the precious personal walk with God that every disciple needs to have. I don't try to substitute this with merely by attending church with your mind somewhere else, or with buying more Christian books but never reading them, or with giving large amounts of money to the church and to missions. You see, a person can be doing all of this but still remain a backslider. Now, allow me to say, there's nothing wrong with doing all these things. All of them are good, but only if they're done with a heart that's burning with fervent devotion to serve and love the Lord. You see, there are two things you must do if you are in a backslidden state. First, you must rekindle your first love for the Lord. Verse 19 said, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." To repent, you must take careful stock of your life now and remove those idols that you have been serving. Whether it is your wealth, your comfort, whether it is your career, whether it is your family, make nothing else but Christ the center or goal in your life. The Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." You see, excuse me, this matters more to the Lord than anything else. Verse 18 says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." I want you to notice that the emphasis here is on the source of all the blessings. We must come to the Lord Jesus the Christ to obtain these things personally from him alone. You see, unless we really and truly commune with the Lord personally through his word and prayer and grow fervently in our commitment to him, we can never be delivered from backslidden conditions. You see, the second thing that we need to do is to maintain that first love. Keep up your intimate relationship with God in your daily quiet time. Don't let anything become between you and the Lord. Don't let anything blow out the flames of loving devotion in your heart. Your first love needs constant maintenance because it can gradually wear out under the constant influence and pressure of this world. Preacher, how can you effectively maintain your first love? Well, by reminding yourself again and again about what Jesus means to you. Make it personal. Remember that he is your Savior. Remember that he is your Lord. Remember that he suffered for you. Remember that he died for you. Remember he gave himself for you. And remember that he was buried and rose again on the third day. Remember that with all power in his hands, he got up from that borrowed tomb. And remember that no love can ever surpass the love that Christ has just for you. And he's loving you even right now, as he says in verses 19 and 20, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." He said, "Be zealous therefore and repent. There, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door," that means you have to do it. He's not going to force his way in on anybody. You have to open the door. And when you open, he will come into you and sup with you and you with him. This is the promise that Jesus gives to us right now, and especially to backsliders. Open the door to him, and he promises to come in and restore to your soul the communion you can have with him. I don't know about you, but too often we live in a vacuum, and we live in such a way that if so-and-so's doing it, it's all right for me. But don't allow yourself to fall into that particular tradition. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. God is a good God, and he lived and died for you as well as for me. Don't be like those of the Laodicean church and become lukewarm, which means taking God for granted and thinking you've done something on your own. God lived, he died, he's through his son, he was buried, but he got up for the purpose of saving you as well as for me. Don't allow that salvation to be in vain. You must not be like the church at Laodicea. You must be one who loves and serves the Lord with gladness.
Amen.
There is backsliding, but God cures all things. May God bless you.
Amen. May he keep you.